Judaism is not a religion. It's a relationship with God who loves us.
Amen. All right. Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Na'ama Sagal Karas, and this is How Do You Jew, the podcast that highlights the diverse gifts that every Jew brings to this world. And hopefully by highlighting them and showing them, we can get ourselves to Geula like right now. So my first most amazing choice for a guest is here. This person is a big part of the reason that I actually consider myself an observant Jew today. I want to say 7 years later, and has a really long resume that I don't nearly have the time to recite word for word. But suffice it to say, her life story is amazing. She has gone from here and there and back again. She has traveled the world. She has done projects you would not believe. She has incredible insight and education and degrees. She does works of chesed, of kindness and compassion. And she also does amazing works in creating kesher, in creating connection between Jews and amongst Jews, using challah of all things and using Shabbat of all things. And so I really, really love this human being so deeply. And I needed to have her on my podcast. And I was not sure if she would be willing to be my first guest. And she is, and she's here. So without further ado, I want to introduce this incredible person. She runs Project Inspire Arizona. She also assists the chief rabbi of South Africa with Shabbat Project North America. She assists Rabbi Niven in Israel, helping and providing love and assistance and care to his congregation and all of his clients around the world. And for her chesed, she also is part of the Chevra Kedisha, the sacred society that offers love and care to those dearly departed to make sure that they receive the right kind of burial. And she also is on call 24/6 for burial versus cremation crisis across the globe, meaning she is there 24/6 by phone to help people who are in crisis, trying to make sure that their beloved dead get the care that they need in the most beautiful, respectful Jewish way. This person is personally responsible for helping me get back on my path. And without further ado, I want to welcome Robin Meyerson.
Wow, I'm so excited to be here. It's just such a thrill to be able to discuss my life and my journey and to be with you on this beautiful podcast. And I love the name of the podcast. It's so fun. It's so
It
fun.
is. It is. And really the meaning behind it is because of this idea that this false idea that I started with when I first got onto my Jewish path, which you may or may not remember, I was constantly second guessing myself as a Baal Tshuva, as a daughter of two Israelis who spoke fluent Hebrew, knowing nothing about religious Judaism and feeling like everything I was doing was probably wrong and constantly like worrying that I wasn't Jewish enough. And you kept telling me like, you're a Jew, there isn't enough, either you are or you're not. And I was like, but I don't feel like I'm Jewish enough. And it turns out like 7 years later, I'm realizing that the way that I Jew is different from the way that you Jew and the way that someone else does it. And that's the way Hashem wants it to be. And so thanks to you, I've been able to get on this path and be able to see that that's really the beauty of the multifaceted nature of Jews in this world. So I really want to dive in with a couple, two, three questions just for you to share your awesomeness with the world. So if you can, in two sentences or less, just kidding, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? excuse me, what do you do, where you're from, and how your Jewish identity shapes your life specifically?
Sure. So I actually live in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I've been here many, many years and I never thought I would stay, but I came when I was 16 years old and met my husband, and I've been here ever since, building the community. I was born in California, but my father's English and my mother's from New York, and they wanted to travel. So I grew up in Australia, Malaysia, and England, and Australia, Malaysia, and England. And my parents believed in showing me the world and different cultures. My parents are Jewish, my grandparents are Jewish, I'm Jewish, but I had no education whatsoever and what it meant to be Jewish. So I celebrated Chinese New Year, Indian holidays, Malay, everything. My friends were multicultural, all different religions, but I always had that search within me wanting to know more about my Jewish background. And so it was a long journey, but just like you, finally, when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, wonderful people took me in and showed me what Shabbat was, and I started my journey. I went on a trip to Israel. I had been to Egypt, I'd been to Greece, but I'd never been to Israel. And that ignited the flame to start to want to learn more about my background. So my personal background has led me now into using my MBA and my business skills for the Jewish people, because I did work in the corporate world for about 15 years, and then I decided, you know what? I'm gonna now help the Jewish people. So I have a few different hats that I wear, or
Just a few.
shadels. I started Project Inspire Arizona, which is all volunteer men and women who learn and grow together with different people. So there's a guy in my neighborhood who does words and whiskey. It's volunteer. There.
Remember Words and Whiskey. I'm so happy it's still going.
Yeah, it's still going. And people of all ages and backgrounds get together and learn Jewish wisdom and become friends. And that's the beauty of Project Inspire, is because it's people of all ages and backgrounds, you know, people who've been religious their whole life, people who don't know anything about religion and who want to learn a little bit, and everything in between. So that's Project Inspire, where we take trips to Israel, we do holidays, we do all kinds of different things related to Jewish wisdom, how to cook Passover meals, whatever it takes to share. So that's Project Inspire. Then I also work with Rabbi Niven in Ashdod on personal development. I stumbled upon him because I like to take classes myself, because I
Same.
highly recommend everybody continuously grow and learn. And I was taking some of his classes. And then one day he called me and said, "Would you like to help me?" And I'm like, "What? Oh, sure." So I spent a few hours a week assisting him with personal development, because as a Jewish woman or man, you might have a lot of education in what it takes to run your business or your family, but then when you want to add all the Jewish part to it, how do we do that? So he has classes on time management, on marriage, personal development, on overcoming anxiety and stress, which a lot of us have, and all
Yeah,
from a Jewish
especially
perspective.
post-COVID.
Yes, especially post-COVID. So there are different Jewish tools that can combine with the secular wisdom, and really it makes a lot of sense. So we have two habors a week, one on God connection and one on personal development, and they're really fabulous. So I help him with that and the coaching that he does, and how to get a breakthrough in anything that you're trying to work on personally. So, and then that led me to working with the Chief Rabbi of South Africa, which is such an honor. He is a global thought leader. He's a warrior on the front lines fighting terrorism and anti-Semitism across the globe. And his wife came up with the idea to do the Shabbat Project about 13 years ago. And I jumped on board wanting to do the Shabbat Project. And the Shabbat Project basically is one Shabbat a year, all Jews across the whole world to keep the full Shabbat. And I jumped in as a volunteer. And 10 years later, he asked me to help him with North America. And it's such a thrill. So I help regular people open their doors for Shabbat, all the way up to institutions who are holding Shabbat holidays or Shabbatones with thousands of people. So it's a big honor to be able to spread the beauty and love of Shabbat. So that's what I do most of my
That's what you do till 10 a.m. And then after that.
But then God, gave me a mission, which, we all have different missions. Everybody, like you say, you do differently, whatever. We all have a personal mission, and we mission as a wife, a mother, a father, so on. But we also have a Jewish mission, and everyone's slightly different. And God revealed his to me about 13, no, I guess it was 14 years ago, because actually by Purim, which is now when we're recording this.
Happy anniversary.
So the way I fell into helping with the Hevra Kedisha and burial versus cremation was because my uncle had passed away, and I'm one of 18 first cousins, and everybody's, unfortunately, it's just me and my brother and one other sister who married, or cousin who married Jewish. And that's the
Oh,
way the
okay.
assimilation is in our country,
Yeah.
unfortunately. It's
Yeah.
terrible. So my uncle passed away, and the family didn't know anything about what to do for burial, and it's not their fault. They just didn't know, no
Yeah.
connection. And so I helped them get my uncle have a proper, thank God, have a proper Jewish burial. And it took 2 weeks of prayers and tzedakah and just, phone calls, praying, I can't even tell you. And so many miracles happened. And thank God he merited to have a Jewish burial. And then 1 year later, God gave me a son on the actual yard site of my uncle. So it's like such an open miracle, such an open miracle. I mean, I was 45 when I had my son. So it's like I wasn't planning on having another child. And,
That's so incredible.
it's so incredible and such an open miracle that I decided to dedicate all my Hesed time to educating the Jewish people about the importance of burial. I made a website, brochures, speeches, whatever is needed, anything to get the. I wrote a song about
Is it a
it.
full song or is it like a jingle?
No, it's a real song, and then I had
Oh,
a
okay.
professional sing it and record
Oh,
it.
wow.
So So I'm on call 24/6. So when families are in agony and their loved one has passed away and they don't know what to do, I'm kind of like the consumer reports of burial too, because I want to make sure that people get a proper Jewish burial and they're not overcharged. And
Well, ideally, yes.
so that's what I do in my Hesed time. And God send he God runs the schedule, so he knows when I'm too
Exactly.
busy to do this or that, and he just kind of runs my day. I do my
Yeah.
day with God. So
Yeah, actually we just kind of say sure, whatever you say and point me in the direction and we go. It's interesting because I remember you first bringing to me the conversation around Chevra Kedisha and burial in 2018, 19 when my mother was very ill and you were prepping me for when she was going to have to pass and the right things that needed to happen. And the conversations that we had were so, I don't know the correct word in English or Hebrew at the moment, but I'm going to say chizukening, because I can't like I'm running on fumes right now from daylight savings, but like you gave me so much encouragement and so much clarity on what is the correct way for Jewish burial to be conducted, and how Shiva really needs to be executed, and how the mourners need to be treated, and all of these rituals and all of these components, and why, and the spiritual meaning behind it. And you're absolutely right. I was literally ignorant. Like it just was not something that was ever discussed in my home, in my community, ever. And I grew up with mostly Jewish families, but like they were all up completely secular. So what you're doing is literally a mitzvah.
it's so beautiful. God loves us so much, and he creates Shabbat. He creates Shiva. He creates kosher. He creates an instruction manual for us, and he says, "I love you, and here's a guide to make your life more pleasurable and more meaningful, and follow it. You don't have to, but if you follow it, you'll have more pleasure and more comfort and more meaning, more purpose in your life." And then I'll, so that's what he says. So, I mean, the reason we have Shiva for 7 days is because we need that psychologically, and God,
Yeah.
like, he's our parent, he loves us. And the reason we have
Yeah.
Shabbat is because it's the greatest gift ever, and he loves us. So,
You're
yeah, I
absolutely
didn't
right.
grow up with it either. So it's meaningful to me as well. And that's why my cup is overflowing, and I want to give it out to everybody else.
I love that. As a matter of fact, I had a friend recently in the last month or two on TikTok whose mother, he was her caregiver, and he pa you know, she passed and he was waiting for her to pass. She was in hospice. And I said, "Listen, I have a friend named Robin Meyerson. This is what she does." You know, the family was very reform, has no idea how it's supposed to go. Mom wanted to be cremated. And I laid it out for him. I'm like, this is the books I want you to go look at. These are the websites I want you to go to. Robin knows what she's talking about. I helped him find a local Chabad that could assist him doing during Shiva. Like he had no clue that these resources were available to him. And I was empowered to do that because of the work that you're doing.
Wow, that's beautiful. That makes me so happy because when you know something, like Rabbi Noah Feinberg from Aish said, if you know something, then you teach it. It doesn't matter whatever it is, so pass
Yeah.
it on to the next person. And that's the
Absolutely.
way. That's the way.
Absolutely. I agree. So, in your own unique way, I would love to know whether it's day to day or on the macro, the micro, the macro, how do you do? How do you bring your unique Robinness, your unique Robin Jewishness into this reality? I would love to
Wow.
hear that.
It's an evolution. That's the first thing I want to start off by saying is that the way I Jew today is not the way I Jewed, maybe even like yesterday or a few weeks ago, but it's a constant refinement. I feel like I have to constantly work on myself and refine myself, and that's the Jewish way. So just to be very practical for anybody who's listening and watching, is that it's important to, first of all, know what your purpose is and your mission, and then know what your goals are and your values. So the way I do is I make a plan for myself, and it's a year-long plan or a 5-year plan, 10-year plan, because of my business background, I'm just used to doing that, and I have a business plan for my life. But then when you get down to the granular for the day, you take that down to the day, and what's most important to me is, number one, my relationship with God. Number two, my relationship with my spouse. Number three, my relationship with my children. And then Klal Yisrael, the whole world. So I make sure in my day, if we were to get granular, in my day, I'm taking care of all of those needs on a daily basis. So I wake up and say Moda Ani, and thank you, Hashem, that you woke me up. And then depending on my son, because he's 12 and getting him to school, whether I get him up first or I pray first, just depends on the day. But I like to talk to God. So I didn't know how over the years I've learned, and now I can do it mostly in Hebrew, not completely. So
Mazel tov. That's a
yeah,
hard challenge.
it's a challenge, and that's what we all want to do. We want to make little goals, like what, how can I improve in each of the areas? So, I start my day with my prayers and also just like normal talking to God. I love to do that in my own words. And then I like to exercise because God, if you don't have your health, then
You have nothing.
how can you do? How can you be a good Jew, like, if you
You have
don't have
nothing.
your
If
health?
you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Totally. And I just, it's so important to me. So to put that self-care in for myself, to go work out or take a walk, and
Do you
then,
see it as being something that you must do in order to fulfill your purpose?
I must, absolutely, with a capital M, I
Yeah.
must, because even for my mental health, and to be a good mom and a good grandmother, I'm a softa. I have 4 beautiful
I
grandchildren.
don't understand that sentence, Robin. I don't understand how you are softa. It's so confusing to me. But anyway, go on.
I have 5 beautiful children that age from 27 to almost 13, and 4 beautiful grandchildren who are 6 to 9 months. So so you have to have your mental health and your physical health to be able to keep up with it. And so I try to exercise every day. If I can't every day, at least to go outside and take a walk. So I like to swim, I like to do the bike and so on, and weights. So that's number one health wise. It's a Jew, that's definitely Jewish. So
Yeah.
and then I do my hours of my work with, spreading Shabbat, learning with people on the phone. fundraising, whatever I can to spread more Judaism to the world, and personal development, and then making dinner or not,
Or ordering. Do you feel like the trajectory that you've had over the last 20, 30 years of shifting from the corporate world, which we know really well, it is completely secular, it's not religious on any level, it's definitely not Jewish on any level, and shifting your trajectory to being employed under the auspices of Jewish operations and Jewish work. Do you think that that is contributory to how you do? Because not everyone does that. Like some people are plumbers, some people are, lawyers. Like they don't necessarily integrate their Jewishness to their career, to their parnasa. So do you think that's correlated at all for you?
I think we can all do it, whether we're a plumber or an electrician or whatever, because the relationship with God, like I said, there's, in order, number one is the relationship with God. So what I want to explain is the amazing thing that I actually learned with Rabbi Niven is this: when you make your to-do list, whether you're paying your taxes or fixing the pipes as a plumber or whatever it is you're doing it with God. So you can be working in a bank doing a secular job, but do it with God, because really God does everything. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that until, in along my journey, I learned
We
it.
don't. We really don't. It takes us time to figure that out.
I thought I did everything. No,
Isn't
I
that
don't.
so cute how we think we're like in control of things? Like, that's so cute. Like,
Yeah, it's not me at all.
oh.
So in my to-do list, when I say, okay, wake up my son, I say, wake up my son with God. Do my fundraising with God, make this phone call with God. So because it makes it more holy. And so you could have any profession whatsoever and make it holy, make it godly. And every action that you take, even like if you're driving to the store to Target to get Honey Nut Cheerios because your son wants them, you say, okay, I'm driving to the store with God, but get Honey Nut Cheerios for my son. And every mundane thing becomes a religious thing, becomes a holy thing. And that's how I've changed over time to not separate the secular or the mundane from the religious and the holy. It's all one, becomes all one. And it gives so much more peace and calm to
So
my
you're
life.
saying that you're literally speaking those words to yourself. I'm not just XYZ. I am with Hashem doing XYZ.
And it makes life calmer and just beautiful, because you kind of like with the Hevrit Kedisha, when you're preparing someone who's passed away, you really have a sense of life and death. You have a sense of the soul and the body. And when you're so busy with your day-to-day actions, you can forget that we're a soul and a body and that there's a God. You could just be running all day long. Let's say you're like, we're getting ready to prepare for Purim. We could be just filling all of our shalach manos, and you're doing a mitzvah, but you might not even be thinking about God and the miracles. You could be doing holy things, but not really, because you're not like really thinking. You're just so running. We're all so sped up. We're all so busy.
So would you say that you incorporate presence into what you do in order to turn that dial in your head to the God frequency?
Yeah, I'm trying so hard. It's a constant reminder. I have to put reminders in my phone to just remind
Same,
myself.
same.
Just to slow down, or just reminder in my to-do list. Hey, stop. Did I check in with God yet? Like, am I slowing down a little bit? Because I can be really fast. I could just do, 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 do. But you gotta do.
That reminds me of a line. I mean, obviously it's not his line. It was Rabbi Chase Taub on one of his podcasts. He was quoting something, and the underlying theme was being present so that you can receive from Hashem. And he was saying, don't just do something, sit there. And it's silly, but it's so critical, because all we have is right now. Like, we really don't have tomorrow. We really don't have yesterday. All we have is now. And it's what you're describing, this presence of mind to constantly be turning the dial back to God channel, back to center, back to this alignment where we are just this teeny piece and we're receiving from this huge funnel. It's a hard thing to do because Hashem set this whole world up as a really powerful illusion to make us think that we're the boss. And you're really showing, like, the way you do is you fight through that illusion and you're constantly reaching through that veil and saying, no, I know you're there. I see you there. I know you're there. Let me hold your hand. Let's do this together. It's a hard thing to do.
It's very hard because we feel like we're in control. So it's hard to slow down. So even if someone sends me a text message and it's a really nice message, it's like, wow, okay, thank you, Hashem. Or if someone sends me a mean message, not that they, I had one person send me a mean message, whatever. So I have to realize, okay, so that message, even that comes from Hashem, that comes from God, and to just slow down, relax, breathe, realize it's not the person, it's a message from God. What do I take the message from that? What is the message? What's the learning? How do I need to grow from this experience? So yeah. it's all, we're all like in this giant experiment. Mito's factory of refining ourselves constantly. How do we become a better person through our children, through our spouses, through our work relationships?
Do you find that it's knocked you down a few pegs in terms of your ego?
Oh gosh, yeah.
I only ask because it's knocked me down like 10,000 pegs.
Yeah. I think that. You don't want to ask for a hardship. You definitely don't want to ask for a hardship. But when you get a hardship, you want to say, okay, I have to learn something from this, and it makes you stronger. I mean, I feel like the upbringing I had, not knowing anything about Judaism, has made me a better Jewish person. And so that's a good thing, right? And
say more about that.
So, like, I try to bring joy and fun into the holidays and into Shabbat, and just make things positive and uplifting so that the next generation will want to do it. Because I think somewhere along the line, many, many of us went through this, that our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents stopped doing Shabbat and holidays and kosher and all that because somewhere along the line it was uncomfortable or unhappy or loss of income or whatever it was, anti-Semitism. And so I want to bring the joy back into it. So that's something that I don't want like people to choose another religion, like, because we have it all. We have everything that's great and wonderful. You don't need to have Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever. You don't have to have that. That's for other people. We have everything. And it's so joyful and beautiful and special and delicious. So that's how I try to have it in my home. I try. You succeed.
Folks, for those of you listening and watching, obviously you don't know me and Robin's backstory, which is fine because I really want to keep that private. But what I will tell you is that when I was first coming back to Judaism, I met her through a wonderful woman named Sheila Israelian on a subway in New York. And it was like, literally Hashem set me up for this, which is hilarious. And I'll tell the story another time, but the basic long version short was 3 weeks after I met Sheila, Robin called me and said, "Hey, I got your number. Would you like to learn with me?" And I'm like this secular, like, I had been practicing paganism for 20 years. I was like, "What? Who is this weirdo on the phone asking me if I want to learn? Like, I've learned plenty. I have a BA. What do you mean I want to learn?" And she's like, "Oh, do you want to learn Torah?" And I'm like, guess so. So fast forward, we become Partners in Torah, which is an actual organization in the world. You're welcome to Google Partners in Torah. And Robin becomes my partner in Torah. And very shortly after we started, she was kind enough to invite me and my two sons and my boyfriend / fiance at the time over to her house for Shabbat. Now, the reason this matters, especially for those of you who are not religious, or not religious yet, I should say, is that when you are coming back to Judaism as a non-practicing Jew, as a secular Jew, and maybe you're dating someone or married to someone who's not Jewish, there is a lot of stigma and there is a lot of rejection that can come from the Torah observant community. And there will be people, I had literally had a woman uninvite me to her house from Shabbat after meeting me and finding out that I was engaged to an Anjou. And so Robin and her amazing husband, Charlie, were like, hey, come over. Like, you have two legs, you're breathing, come. Like, we don't care, like, come. And then my oldest proceeds to knock like a whole bottle of wine over the table. And Charlie's like, see, now it's Shabbat because someone's knocked something over, and like made him feel completely at ease and never judged my husband and made us feel like we were welcome. Like literally they were Sarah and Abraham opening their door, opening their tent to us, did not judge us on any level. And that is what gave me hope that Judaism was not the negativity that my secular parents raised me to believe that it was. And so when you say you're trying to bring the joy, no, you succeed. You do. And I'm here now in part because you proved that, because you walk the walk. And I love that about you. And I'm going to start crying. So I'm going to switch subjects. So question number three, let's see here. No crying. There's no crying in podcast recording. What's one Jewish tradition or value or experience that holds a deep meaning for you, and why?
Wow, there's so many.
I had a feeling you'd say that.
Yeah, okay. They're all going to lead to one main one, but I just want to start with the first one that happened to me was that I never even heard of a kosher mezuzah. I didn't even know what mezuzahs were. And so we got a mezuzah on our house, and then we put them on all the doors. I'm like, whoa, all the doors. That's a lot of money. But it started to make an impact on our life, because there's something to this thing.
Yes.
So
yes.
We put the mezuzahs up, and then I started learning. And then a couple of years later, then I went kosher. I was fighting it tooth and nail, but we went kosher. And
it was Charlie who wanted to start.
My husband wanted to go first because his mom had passed away, and he started to like say Kaddish. It's the prayer that you say when you have a loved one pass away. So then he started growing a beard, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then he wanted to go kosher, and I thought, why? You know, it's so much. Why? But then I realized, well, that makes me different. That makes me, I felt like that kind of made me Jewish. That made me separate. Mm-hmm. And I did it. We had the rabbi come over. And once that happened, and I koshered my kitchen and started buying kosher meat and cheese, and it was not hard. It's not hard now. It was hard in the beginning. It's now a piece of cake. It's like, it's just like riding a bike. It's hard in the beginning. You fall a few times, but then it's super easy. That's really what catapulted me from the mezuzah to the kosher to the Shabbos. And and Shabbos is the one thing. That is the thing. Like, I could work 24/7. I mean, I love to work.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's just pleasurable. But if you do that, then you never stop. You never see your family. You never talk to your spouse. So Shabbat once a week is a break from the phone, the computer, you stop, you slow down, you look at your spouse in the eye at Kiddush, you talk to your children around the dinner table.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's just, Shabbat is what keeps us grounded, keeps us centered, keeps us still, keeps us happy, keeps us healthy. And that's the one thing. It has such a deep meaning to me. And the food, like challah. I mean, I never even heard of challah either when I was growing up. And now I make challah. I teach people how to make challah. And now I'm really into sourdough. And I think sourdough is the original Sari Imenu bread, because like it's the yeast that it's in the it, it just it's there's just flour, yeast, and salt and water.
Yeah.
It's very
it
natural.
It is the original for sure.
It's the original. And you stretch the dough and you bend it. And I feel like I'm stretching myself and I'm bending to the will of God. And it's different than when you knead regular challah. So Shabbat.
Love that. What
Shabbat
a great metaphor.
You're stretching yourself and you're bending yourself when you make sourdough. And
then resting, because you have to let the dough rest.
Yes, you have to let the dough rest, and you have to just go at its own timetable, which I think if every Jew tried Shabbat, They just, if they did it like once and then tried it six times, I think everybody would be keeping Shabbat because it's so needed for our mental health and for our parenting. I mean, all this anxiety and mental health that we have in the world, like you just go into an island of time and you just shut out the world and you don't look at the news and you just be and you become your best self. Like you become a better person, you become giving, and it's just we tell jokes at my Shabbat table, silly, stupid jokes. And it's just great. And I don't know what I would do without it. I would be, I don't know. Who knows? So that's my one thing. It's very deep meaning to me, very deep and special.
Well, considering you do the Shabbat project and Project Inspire and teach Shabbat and teach challah bakes, I'm not surprised you pick Shabbat. Like that's kind of a duh. Do you feel like it's something that has grown over time in terms of like how special it is to you, or has it always been this special?
It's evolved. When my kids were little, I would get into all kinds of fun things like let's make food from Italy and do a Shabbat Italian style. Let's do the Abraham and Sarah Shabbat style. What did they eat in the desert? You know? So it would evolve like that. Very kid focused, parsha focused to the kid and so on, and games and parsha questions. And now for the last several months, I'm very focused on my grandkids, and so the questions at the table are more grandkid oriented. And there was a stage of my life where I had tons of guests all the time from all ages and backgrounds and so on. And then there's phases of your life where you focus more on your family. So Shabbat evolves, and one day it'll be an empty nest Shabbat. I actually experienced that for the first time a few weeks ago. It was just me and my husband for Shabbat. That was wild. Just two people in the house. I never had that before. There is a correlation between Shabbat, my favorite thing, and my Hevra Kedisha work, because the Shabbat every week, every 7 days, is a taste of the afterlife.
It's
God
one
gives us a
sixtieth, right?
It's a taste of it. Every Shabbat is a taste of what the afterlife will be like for you. And if you're experiencing it with your family and delightful Torah learning and yummy food, and that's the pleasure that you're going to have. If you're doing your laundry and running around and doing work, that's what you're going to have in the afterlife too. And so, you want to choose the right kind of afterlife you want. And then with the burial, that when I'm helping someone get a proper burial, then I'm escorting them into the proper afterlife too, a peaceful, beautiful afterlife. And so there's a connection between Shabbat and the Hevra Kedisha that I do. And now it all makes sense to
That
me.
really is incredible. Also, I'd like to point out, just to say the quiet part out loud, most people don't think about the next world. Most people don't think about it in a concrete way. Maybe they're kind of fire and brimstone and they're worried about damnation or harm or bad things or punishment or whatever, but they're not thinking about, no, this is actually like the rest of your existence. How do you want it to go? And you are so practical about it. Like, no, I really do know exactly what I want. And I want to give that to everyone. And it's just so concrete. And I love that. And I love that you just connected it to Shabbat. That's incredible.
Yeah, the
That's
way
so
I look
interesting.
at the afterlife too is that it's just like when you have a baby. So you have a baby and then becomes a toddler, then a teenager, then an adult, right? And then the afterlife. It's not scary. It's just the next phase of development, of age. And so this world, we're in this body for 120 years, and then the next life, afterlife, I don't even call it death. It's like afterlife. It's the next phase of life, and it's for a very long time. And you can maintain a relation, you can maintain a connection with your departed loved ones, your mother, your father, whoever you've lost, by doing mitzvahs in their merit. And it's a cool thing that Hashem created. God created this system where you do a mitzvah for your departed loved one, they pray for you up there and shower blessings down on you through God. And it's like, whoa. So the first, 20, 30 years of my career, or 20 years of my career, I focused on my physical bank account. How much is my net worth? How many cars? The houses, the physical stuff. And for this this part after I became Balchuva was to focus on my spiritual bank account, so the mitzvahs, and those get compound interest,
Yes, they do.
just, so
They do.
that's the way, and that's the way I like to focus on it.
I love that. And I love that your focus on that is intentional. You choose to focus on that. You don't wake up and fall into the, oh, I'm going to be, thinking about this today. You make the active decision. No, I'm actually going to focus on my spiritual bank account today. And energy flows where focus goes. So I really love that. I know you have a hard stop, so I do want to ask you the final question. Which is if you could share one piece of wisdom, only one, or insight with the Jewish world, with the listeners, with the viewers, regardless of what kind of Jewish background they come from, what would it be?
So the one piece of wisdom that I would share with the Jewish people is that God is real and that you can have a real relationship with God and you can have anything you really want with God if you make a relationship with him. Talk to him, thank him, ask him for things you need and want. Just have a dialogue with God. He's real. He loves us more than anything. And Judaism is not a religion, it's a relationship with God.
Say that again. I love that.
Judaism is not a religion, it's a relationship with God who loves us.
Wow. That is incredible. Oh my goodness. I feel so invigorated. I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much. So this is episode one, but there will be many more. Hopefully, God willing, I will be interviewing another incredible human named Sunny Levy. She will be hopefully not busy for 5 minutes and be able to actually answer me because she's all over the place too. And that should be episode two of this amazing new podcast, How Do You Jew? So for all of you listening and all of you watching, I want to remind you the way that you are in the world is exactly the way Hashem designed you to be. You have a unique gift. You have a unique perspective. You have a mission, like Robin said, and it is your job to figure out what it is and bring it out into the world. The saddest thing in the world is someone who dies with their song still inside them. I don't want that. I want you to find your mission, your purpose, your beauty, your gift, the diversity of what you bring, and bring it. Let's get to Geula and let's get it now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.